Okay. Hi, everybody. I've had to change places. This is a shared house, and the walls are thin. So we're moving on to Esoteric Astrology Adventure 79, Part C, and we've just seen a very interesting idea here that the numbers 1, 4, 8, and 11 have within them the sealing of the history of the soul. I come forth and from the plane of mind I rule, in a way the outset of soul life, connected with Aries and the first ray. And then we have the embodiment in incarnation, the focusing of energy, as it is called here, focused impulse in Cancer. So this is the actual embodiment of the mental impulse that begins upon the plane of mind, the going forth with Aries. And then we come to the attempt to free ourselves through the number 8, the Christ impulse, fighting our way forward against the stream, using the energy of contradiction and contrast, Scorpio, and finally we emerge into liberation in the sign Aquarius. Okay. So, DK frequently tells us about the importance of various signs in relation to each other, and it's hard to keep track of these important factors. But here we have the history of the soul from the time of its emergence to the time of its liberation. And interestingly, in 3 of the signs, the planet Uranus is involved, the hierarchical ruler of Aries, the exalted planet in Scorpio or ruler, and the ordinary or orthodox ruler, and a veiled and hierarchical ruler in Aquarius. So it's all about descent, embodiment, struggle, liberation. He says here he would like to touch upon another interesting point. Right. Which will serve to demonstrate the potency of Scorpio and its energies in the life of the disciple. This is, after all, the major sign of discipleship, the struggles of discipleship, especially with Sagittarius being the sign of the one-pointed disciple. And Virgo having much to do with the disciplines and purifications of discipleship. Those three signs, I think, especially associated with discipleship. Virgo, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, although disciples can naturally be found born in or under all of the signs. So this is more about the potency of Scorpio and its energies in the life of the disciple. Let's see. Scorpio is one of the four arms of the fixed cross of the heavens, as well you know. It is, in a way, the third in order, an M sign involving all the three aspects of the nature. It begins with Taurus, goes to Leo, and finally we have Scorpio, followed by Aquarius, a sign of higher initiation. Upon that cross, the correctly poised man stands right at the center where the four arms meet. And this is the thing, you know, spiritual poise is achieved upon the fixed cross. I think it is rarely found upon the earlier stage of the mutable cross in consciousness, because there is great mutability, fluidity of activity, but not a fixed stance which is in response to the will of the soul. So variability rules the common or mutable cross, and fixity of spiritual purpose increasingly rules the fixed cross. So upon that cross, the correctly poised man stands right at the center where the forearms meet, and therefore at the point where the energy of all the four signs can pour through him and evoke the needed reactions. This tells us that we are to learn to stand at a certain point on the crosses, or on the major cross in, on which we may be born. This is frequently the cross of the sun sign. At least most frequently it seems to be considered to be that, although if the if the cross is different for the rising sign, one could wonder why not to use that. But let us say there's a certain stance that we can take which is not firmly rooted in our own sign, but is a center-like position, giving us access to the flow of all of the signs on our particular cross and all of the appropriate rulers. I suppose both orthodox and esoteric, and not so often hierarchical. Okay. So at that point where the energy of all the four signs and the rooting planets can pour through him and evoke the needed reaction. So each of us has to question, since we all have all the signs, how the other signs of the cross on which our sun, let us say, is found, are actually impacting our lives, how we are accessing those energies, and how we are accessing the energies of the planets ruling. This would be a disciplined investigation on behalf of undertaken by all who are serious about knowing the nature of the cross on which they stand. And of course, even if our sun is located on the mutable or cardinal cross, we can always choose the four signs of the fixed cross, since it is the cross of discipleship, and see how it is and to what extent we respond to the universal themes that are offered on this cross. Let's say, you know, illumination for Taurus, the change of egoic focus for Leo, detachment and triumph in Scorpio, and the growth of group consciousness and subsequent liberation in Aquarius. All of us are responding to all of these signs. And so we have to learn not only to focus on the signs with which we are endowed at birth, but on all of them, and on certain of them specifically, because they represent the path, the point of evolution that we have reached. At the point where energy of all the four signs and of the ruling planets can pour through him and evoke the needed reactions, produce the conditions whereon wherein test is possible, and so bring the necessary reversal of the, whoa, don't want that, that's not what I want. I hope everything is still going along as it should. It seems to be so. I guess these discussions are a little bit informal, but I find that that's probably the best way to save time rather than to be over fastidious about every detailed. Maybe the day will come when they can be edited into a more fastidious condition. But for now, I'm just eager to bring these thoughts to you and see what thoughts they may stimulate in your own minds. Produce the conditions where in test is possible, and so bring about the necessary reversal of the life currents in the man's nature and place him upon the reverse wheel. This is a most important statement. We've talked about the meaning of the reversal of the wheel, and I know I have either been explicit about this or hinted at this, that we're really talking about changing the direction of the energy currents within the subtle vehicles. And here he actually simply comes out and says it, that the reversed wheel is really a reversal of the life currents in the man's nature, and that when these life currents are reversed, he is upon the reversed wheel. This gives us the physiology of this symbolic reversal of the wheel and brings it right into our microcosmic system, which is making it very practical. The planets which rule and condition him in some aspect or other of his nature are. Okay, so we'll look at this. Excuse me. I think he's talking mostly about the fixed cross, whether or not we are specifically born upon that cross with our sun sign, or whether we're born in Scorpio. It's pretty much the cross to which we have to attend. But remember that there are always fixed cross interpretations of the positions on the mutable and cardinal cross, just the way there are common cross or mutable cross interpretations on any of the crosses, and there are later cardinal cross interpretations on any of the crosses. According to our stage of consciousness, so we do respond to one or other of these crosses in a foundational and generic sense, regardless of the actual cross in which our sun may find itself at birth. So certain energies must be absorbed on the fixed cross, certain needed reactions evoked, reactions that lead us towards illumination, towards reestablishing our identity on a higher turn of the spiral, towards detachment and triumph, towards liberation. These are the key factors which will be evoked from us when we learn how to deal consciously with the energies of the fixed cross. And then we need tests. And if we pass the tests, we establish that the life currents have been reversed. And instead of the lower descending to the higher where they are expressed, the higher descending to the lower where they are expressed, the lower ascend and are drawn up, sublimated, and find a higher spiral of expression, subject to the higher aspects of a man's nature. So our Hydra, our personality, our 666 is raised up into heaven, which is the general field of the expression of man's spiritual energies, and the man finds himself redeemed, definitely upon the reversed wheel. Some good thinkers along this line have said this occurs after the second initiation, really, but there are some earlier reversals. Let's say the activity that takes place in the fifth petal of the egoic lotus accounts for a definite, though incomplete, reversal. There's definitely an aspect of the man which is now always turning towards the spirit, no matter how much there may be a backward drag upon him through the unredeemed aspects of his nature. If we start the first petal of the egoic lotus with Pisces and move clockwise, we will interestingly find Scorpio at the fifth petal. If we start with Aries and move forward, we will find we will find Leo at the fifth petal. If we start with Aries and move backwards, we will find Sagittarius at the fifth petal. Interestingly, two signs, Scorpio and Sagittarius, in which Mars is prominent. It's going to be a struggle at the fifth petal as we make the decisions between the lower form of egoism and a higher identification with our true egoic nature. Anyway, the planets which rule and condition him in some aspect or other of his nature are, okay, so I'd like to lay this out so it actually looks correct. The planet, the sign, the ray, and interestingly, the school. Orthodox, esoteric, and hierarchical planets represent three schools, or three fields of activity. Three fields of activity, each of which has a certain type of learning possible within it. One school pertains to learning within the personality confines. That's the Orthodox rulership. The other pertains to learning the lessons of the soul through the personality and perhaps the soul on its own plane. Another, the hierarchical school, has to do with learning the lessons of the spirit as they express through the soul on its own plane and through the spiritual triad and eventually on its own plane, the monadic plane. The planet Venus is the, you see, he is including, isn't he, both the Orthodox ruler and the esoteric ruler. He seems also to be including, the hierarchical ruler as well. So all three schools are mentioned in relation to these particular signs of the fixed cross. The fixed cross for us makes the object of the most intense and important study. I think we will all find, regardless of the sign in which we are born or under which we are born, that is the rising sign, the fixed cross issues are with us. The growing of the light, the changing of the sense of identity, the necessity to triumph over our shadow, over our hydra, and finally some liberation into group consciousness. So Venus is the planet, its sign is Taurus. Venus thus gives access to Taurus, a lesser being giving access to a greater. Its ray is the fifth, the soul ray, probably, and it's the Orthodox ruler of Taurus, and Venus in Taurus has to do with the acquisition of knowledge. Under the fifth ray, later in Leo, it's justified, the justification of knowledge, and the school is operative at first, relating to the personality more specifically, but of course the light of the soul can enter as well later in the esoteric school, and probably we can find an application of every position to every school. Vulcan is in Taurus, and its ray, probably its soul ray, is the first. Its school is both hierarchical and esoteric, so this is having to do with the will of the soul and also with the will of the triad monad. There is a great impression of divine purpose from Shambhala reflected in the soul, which can come through with this position. There is the establishment of a great light radiating from the various jewels found in the energy system, and there are many. Every chakra having a jewel, and every level of the human energy system having a chakra. The personal system especially, as far as chakras go, upon the higher mental plane, the buddhic plane, the atmic plane, and so forth, this is an area of the teaching which is not yet revealed, but I suspect that when the atmic vehicle is fully organized and coordinated, and the Buddhic vehicle coordinated, and when the solar angels have left and we are responsible for our own manas in a way, then the story of the chakras in the various higher planes and vehicles will receive greater attention. Right now it's probably rather beyond us. Most of us are not at the point where we have coordinated our Buddhic vehicle, which seems mostly to occur after the third degree. So now, then from Taurus, from the blinding light, we move to the fiery pain aspect, which is the sun in Leo. Does the sun veil Jupiter? That is a question. But all three schools are involved here. The sun is the orthodox ruler. It's also the esoteric ruler, though it veils Neptune. And it's also the hierarchical ruler, though it veils Uranus. The sun is the symbol of centrality, symbol of selfhood, and it's just a question of the selfhood we learn to recognize as that of our true self. On the fixed cross, we have to learn, I am that. We haven't quite reached the essence of oneness, but we have identified our, or localized our identity within a unity, and maybe as a unity. It embraces the group. So these are the energies, you know, standing upon the fixed cross, which all of us must learn to absorb, regardless of what our particular horoscope says. And we probably can find the ways of interpreting the fixed cross within our horoscope, whether or not those particular signs are tenanted I'm thinking in my own case. I have something in Leo, I have something in Taurus, I have something in Aquarius, nothing in Scorpio per se, nothing major. But do I then dismiss Scorpio from the life analysis, or do I find the way in which the Scorpio position in my chart is active and relates to these other three, which have tenanted planets, signs? So Mars is the planet, Scorpio the sign. Its usual ray, probably the personality ray, is the sixth. And this works out both in an orthodox and esoteric manner. Mars, full of red desire and selfishness, usually in the orthodox approach to Scorpio, and then filled with righteous conflict in the esoteric aspect of Scorpio. You know, fight the good fight, the inner battle, the inner jihad, to use that term in a more psychological sense. I think we have to get into the ability to stop projecting outwardly processes which are meant to occur inwardly. We would move into the hierarchical position and find Mercury in Scorpio, bringing in the fourth ray and the energy of the Buddhic plane and the power to dispel illusion and to bring the illumination of the cosmic ethers via the intuition. It is the way of solving the disciple's problem as he deals with his dweller, with his dragon, with his lower serpent. Mercury holds the key. Mars, interestingly, does not hold the key. I seem to want to line all this stuff up, if I can. A little bit here. See how that works. It clarifies the mind somewhat to have visual alignment looking somewhat neat. So, a great liberation is occurring because of the work of Mercury in relation to Scorpio. You know how decay clusters certain related items. He clusters the signs which share in one way or another the same ruler and tells the story of their relationship. In the case of Mercury, we would have Aries, esoteric ruler, Gemini, Orthodox ruler, Virgo, Orthodox ruler, and Scorpio, hierarchical ruler. Those four signs would be clustered due to their relationship to Mercury. With Leo, we seem only to have, for instance, the Sun in relation to Leo, but we would perhaps also have to include Aries, because it has the exaltation of the Sun, and so forth. There are many ways of isolating clusters of related astrological factors which are worthy of study and will reveal deep secrets, given time and penetration. Now we come to Aquarius. We've gone from blinding light to fiery pain to bitter woe, and now liberation. Which, of course, does not mean that all Aquarians are liberated. Uranus is the planet, Aquarius the ruler, and it's bringing in the seventh ray, probably on the soul level. I think that's how it goes with DK, that when he has a sacred planet, he's giving you the soul ray. When he has a non-sacred planet, he's giving you the personality ray. And as far as the monadic ray goes, you have to pretty well either guess or go to some unaccentuated references, which can be found here and there, which seem to tell the story. So it's the Orthodox school, this most unorthodox planet in the Orthodox school. But we do remember that Uranus does rule the scientific mind, not only the occult mind, and that it is operative in the thinking of the average scientist, which is pretty well within the personality field. Jupiter is the esoteric ruler of Aquarius. It's bringing in the second ray in the soul sense, yes, the esoteric school. And the moon, a very non-sacred aspect of our planetary scheme, is conveying the fourth ray. From where? From where? From perhaps a non-sacred fourth ray planet, which it veils. It does veil a planet, and not one of the usual ones. And he does pretty well give us all of the non-sacred planets are hierarchical rulers, after all. Mars of Sagittarius, the Earth of Gemini, Pluto of Pisces, and here's the Moon. The Moon, the hierarchical ruler of Aquarius. But really, as we know, veiling three all-important planets, Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus, and perhaps distributing the energy of this non-sacred second-ray, fourth-ray planet, whatever it may be. So the moon is connected with liberation in the hierarchical position because it yields the thoroughly integrated and transfigured personality that can respond to this combination of Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus. And so these are the these are the astrological signs and planets to which we must all respond when we stand at the center of the fixed cross. The first ray is there, second ray, not third. Fourth ray is there, fifth ray is there, sixth ray is there, and the seventh ray is there. Everything except the third ray, which is symbolically interesting. Because if we're going to triumph over the dragon whose number is nine, is the essence of the opposition offered by that aspect of ourself which is ruled by the third ray. Now, of course, all of this has to be demonstrated on the dense physical plane, and Scorpio is an M sign having to do with matter, and it gives us the sense of threeness, So the demonstration has to be made there. But it's a demonstration over the third ray. It's also interesting in that, in this respect, that of all of the soul rays of countries which DK has given us, not one of them has the third ray at this time. Third ray personalities, yes. Third ray souls, no. So he's giving us formulas and methods by which the binding material power of the third ray can be transcended. And certainly upon the fixed cross, where the soul, the second aspect, must dominate the personality or third aspect, we can understand why the third ray is not accentuated, though the second ray and its resonant rays are. We have two presences of the second ray. 1, 2, 3 of the, or is it 2 of the fourth ray? 2 of the fourth ray. 1 of the fifth. And 1 of the sixth. 1 of the seventh and 1 of the fifth. The only hardline rays, well, you see, the third is the only hardline ray not mentioned. And the predominance is with the second ray and the fourth ray. Interestingly related to what humanity is one day to become and what the West now is. The second ray soul and the fourth ray personality. Okay. So that's the occult movement from the East to the West, producing the two and the four. And humanity, whose rays now may be more like 4 and 5, will become 2 and 4. So I guess all of us have to learn simply, over time, how to stand at that position in the fixed cross so that we can avail ourselves of all of these energies, and we should examine our life to see how we are doing. First, I would suggest, even in a non-astrological way, just examine your life and see how you're doing along the dimensions of illumination, identity, detachment and triumph, and group consciousness and subsequent liberation. How are you doing? Then go into your actual chart. See what is the layout of the fixed cross, how the rulers are distributed, and what story that tells you about how you are learning to respond to fixed cross energies. From this tabulation, DK tells us, it would appear that the influence of only one ray, that of the third ray of active intelligence, is missing. All the other rays pour through vertically and horizontally into the man's nature and environment. Well, vertically and horizontally, I suppose if we lay these things out in order, we have Taurus and Scorpio horizontal, and Leo and Aquarius vertical, with Aquarius, in a way, commanding the highest vertical position, well, it being so universal and so inclusive and having the power to synthesize so many different factors, it seems natural enough that it would. Well, really, on all crosses, the three verticals are the last three signs, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So life, quality, and appearance are all tested on the fixed cross, eventually, as the initiations elapse. Perhaps the appearance is tested first, quality next, and when we reach the third initiation and beyond, then life itself, vitality, the will, the purpose, this will be tested it can be tested in all the signs, of course. I mean, you can have people taking the fourth degree with a strong Taurus influence. Krishnamurti was that. Father Damien was that. And the Leo and Aquarius axis are found in the charts of many high souls. You look at Sri Aurobindo, very powerful Leo presence, extremely powerful. You look in Ramakrishna, Aquarius is there, and Francis Bacon, Aquarius is there. And and Scorpio, too, will take us at least to the third degree, and then perhaps in a different way into the fourth. Its peculiar testing presence in relation to the three vehicles may not be there, but Scorpio may test our attachment to the causal body. It's a different kind of testing. Because just as we can be attached to our unified personality, so after the third degree, we may find ourselves attached to our accumulated virtues and want to use them for their own sake, rather than for the sake of the plan and purpose to which they have to be sacrificed. So life, quality, and appearance are all tested. Right down here on the physical plane, ruled in a way by the third ray. But as the entire experience has to be fought out subjectively and lifted up into the air, i.e. the Buddhic plane, finally, and raised into the world of spiritual values, where all problems must be solved in the light of the intuition and by the soul, the stimulation of the intellect, in relation to which Scorpio is very powerful, Mercury and the mind, doubly powerful in Scorpio, the stimulation of the intellect of the third ray, and the focusing of the disciples' attention upon the physical plane, the world of material values, is not desirable. A lot of things may work out on the physical plane, but it's only because we have decided for certain interior spiritual values and have lifted the issue up into heaven that the result works out on the physical plane. So the battle is not specifically on the physical plane. Not specifically. Okay, moving on here. Just had a little interrupting phone call, which may have come out on the audio part, but in any case, the intellect, the stimulation of the intellect, which is already very strong in Scorpio before a certain point, in the dispelling of glamour and the bringing about of a degree of illumination, is no longer required. And the focusing of the disciples' attention upon the physical plane, which is the world of material values ruled by the third ray, is not desirable. Although, as I say, the disciple has to prove right here on the physical plane that these spiritual values can work through physically. So, although we don't have, for Scorpio, the third ray involved, the final test will not be passed unless that which is worked out subjectively, worked at subjectively, is expressed on the physical plane. So the internal battle has its effect upon the physical plane. Therefore, the influence, says the Tibetan, of the third ray is omitted or occultly deflected, as it is called, except insofar that the substance of the brain is automatically conditioned by the third ray, which is the subconscious ruler of matter. I guess you could say that matter, the patterned expression of matter, works out according to third ray tendencies, of which I suppose the principle of selectivity and certain principles, aggregation, selectivity, mutability, these things control matter and many more, given in cosmic fire when the higher laws are given their more material correspondences. Now, of course, if this applies to Scorpio, we see that it applies as well to every other sign on the fixed cross and what is attempting to be achieved. And these other signs, well, yes, there is the intellect involved through the Venus rulership of Taurus. There is not so much intellect involved there in Leo, except, I suppose, through Uranus, which is one of the mental planets. Scorpio does accent the intellect via Mercury, and Aquarius is a fifth ray and third ray sign, interestingly enough, has as one of its decanate rulers Mercury and Venus, both planets of the intellect, and Saturn as well, the distributor of the third ray. And yet, regardless of these associations, which may bring some third ray into the picture, from the point of view of constellational rulership, in the normal sense, from the angle of constellational rulership, only Aquarius has the third ray associated. Planetarily, from the point of view of the normal interpretation of the rulers, only Aquarius again, via Saturn, the very orthodox ruler and traditional ruler of Aquarius before Uranus was discovered, only Aquarius via Saturn has the third ray. Anyway, all these fixed cross issues are to be lifted up. He's talking specifically about Scorpio and its battles, but the factor of illumination that have changed identity, illumination Taurus, changed identity Leo, and final liberation Aquarius, are not specifically to be worked out on the physical plane, although that is where their effects may be found. You see, in a way, what you say about one of the fixed signs, you have to say about all the others as well, because we're talking about rays which are being distributed through the planetary rulers. But then, of course, we also have looked at the rays through the signs of the zodiac, the traditional associations that the Tibetan has given, but also some subsidiary associations that he hints at. Anyway, therefore, says the Tibetan, the influence of the third ray is omitted or occultly deflected, as it is called, except insofar that the substance of the brain is automatically conditioned by the third ray. That's generically speaking. Some people have more seventh ray substance, even though the generic conditioning may be that of the third ray. The personality ray also has a deep connection with the brain, with the physical body, and the brain, of course, is representative of that. We're told at one point that it is Saturn which rules the brain, but Mercury which rules the mind. So, which is the subconscious ruler of matter. In other words, the inclinations of the material units follow the pattern dictated by the third ray. This pouring in of the six potencies, without the third ray, is that which provides the setting and conditions of the tests. He's mostly talking about testing process in Scorpio, where you basically say, well, if you've achieved, prove it. All these ray energies express themselves as the active sub-rays of the ray upon which the soul of the disciple is found. How interesting. Hence the necessity to ascertain the ray of the soul prior to casting the horoscope and setting up the chart. So basically, if we're on the fixed cross, even in consciousness, but not necessarily in our horoscope, the rays conveyed by the fixed cross will be instrumental to the ray of our soul, and perhaps one of them will particularly reinforce the ray of our soul. If we're a third ray soul, there won't be that reinforcement, but if our soul is found on any of the other rays, then one of these rays coming through the fixed cross will reinforce that soul ray. So for second ray souls, the position of Jupiter would be important, as it will relate to Aquarius, Jupiter Aquarius, reinforcing for the second ray soul. And so it would go for others, you know, the first ray soul would have the Vulcan Taurus connection, and excuse me, fourth ray soul would have the Mercury connection through Aries, but also, of course, through Scorpio. The fifth ray soul would have the Venus connection in relation to Taurus. Also, from the point of view of constellations, both Aquarius and Leo bring in the fifth ray, so they would also be reinforcing of the expression of the fifth ray soul. The sixth ray soul would be related to Scorpio particularly, as that is the esoteric ruler of Scorpio and also orthodoxly. And the seventh ray soul, we would find ourselves connected with Libra. Let's see if we go back here. But of course, we're dealing with the fixed cross. So the seventh ray soul would have to do with Aquarius particularly. And the sixth ray with Scorpio, yes. Fourth ray with Scorpio, but also with Aquarius. Anyway, we look for methods of strengthening the soul ray, reinforcing the soul ray. And I think it's very interesting that he says that on the fixed cross, the six potencies will necessarily act as sub-rays to the ray upon which the soul is found. And he says active sub-rays as well, which I suppose means they are not passive. Okay. Right. So we do come to this issue of finding the ray of the soul before real horoscope work can be done. And, you know, in the case of identical twins or even fraternal twins, we find that astrology is not all. The extensive history of the individuals, what they built into their causal body, and of course, preeminently, the ray of the soul, which can differ, even in twins, is a fundamental factor. And without that, we'll simply be relying upon what astrology can tell us, but it cannot tell us all. It cannot give us the basic, at least the astrology of the personality horoscope, which is presently what we have, although experiments in other directions are underway. So by other means, which are not necessarily horoscopic, we cannot force the ordinary horoscope to attempt to tell too much. Otherwise, again, we fall into that pattern of having a theory and forcing the theory upon life. It may be later that when we have the horoscopes of many people whose soul rays are definitely ascertained, we will see certain patterns in the horoscope, which over and over again will indicate that thus and such is the soul ray involved. But as stated, we can see that almost identical horoscopes of twins, even born by cesarean section 1 minute apart, that their soul rays are different. And this is maybe even more the case in fraternal twins of the same or different sex. So we have to be most careful when it comes to the possibility of forcing the horoscope, as we presently have a horoscope, to attempt to tell the whole story of the individual, not only personally, but spiritually. I think that would be, you know, quite a grave error. Okay. Now, this is one of those important sections in the Scorpio chapter which gives us the hints about how to pursue the new astrology. Not to pursue it entirely from the given horoscope. Excuse me. Though that horoscope is undoubtedly very fruitful of important indications. So this is bringing DK to two points about which he says, I would like to speak a word. In dealing with the horoscope of the personality and with the average non-aspiring man, because that would really be all we could deal with, because since he is non-aspiring, the influence of the soul will not be very prominent and certainly not conscious as soul influence. So in dealing with the horoscope of the personality and with the average non-aspiring man, the astrologer should endeavor to discover the personality ray from a study of character, of the physical indications, which are definitely there in indicating the personality ray. Remember how closely the nature of the physical body corresponds to the personality ray. It's not just a question of having a third or seventh ray physical vehicle, but the personality ray does put its stamp upon the physical vehicle. So we have to study that personality ray. We should at least endeavor to. We can see what the character of the individual may be, what the physical indications may be, and also the environment in which the person finds themselves, and that may have a lot to do with the testimony of the physical nature. In other words, environment may include physical indications, or physical indications may include environment. Study the emotional qualities and the type of mind, because there is definitely going to be an overlay there. The qualities of the personality ray will overlay upon the various rays of the vehicles and the nature of the environment. Okay, he does get to the nature of the environment. So maybe we can look at that as an independent category. But what is the personality ray? It should be showing through every vehicle. And perhaps especially, well, I guess it depends on the 2-4-6 or 1-3-5-7 line, but I think it will show quite a bit through the physical vehicle and circumstances, just the way the soul ray should show through the emotional vehicle, particularly on the monadic ray through the mental vehicle, if the person is advanced enough for us to notice this, or we are advanced enough to notice it. So then the astrologer, he will then be able to lay out a far more useful chart, you know, than just randomly interpreting a chart without knowing what the personality ray is. Far more useful chart with the orthodox planets ruling the life. You kind of wonder whether you should place the ruler that conveys the personality ray on the ascendant and see whether that will be even more illuminating than simply leaving it in its normal position if it's not on the ascendant. He will be able to lay out a far more useful chart with the orthodox planets ruling the life and presumably very much in the houses as mundanely considered. I suppose all of us, you know, should be looking at the way our supposed personality ray works through the planet most associated with it in the orthodox consideration. And maybe when there's more than one planet, we can consider both the sacred and non-sacred rulers. You know, for the first ray personality, perhaps both Vulcan and Pluto. For the second ray personality, both Jupiter and the Sun. For the third ray personality, both Saturn and the Earth. Perhaps we would interpret the Earth heliocentrically. For the fourth ray personality, both Mercury and the Moon. For the fifth ray personality, only Venus at the moment, although we could give other fifth-ray coloring to different planets, or detect fifth-ray coloring in other planets. The sixth-ray, both Neptune and Mars. And maybe, you know, the higher aspects of the personality would be more indicated by the sacred planet, and the lower by the non-sacred. The seventh-ray, again, we're dealing with Uranus particularly. We have no other immediate seventh-ray planet. We certainly have Jupiter bringing in the seventh ray in a sense, and Saturn in another sense, but not emphasized, at least in the teaching we're using at present. So everything would center around that particular planet, which integrates the personality on its ray. Of course, the Sun sign will be very important, because that stands for the integrative or integrating personality. So the particular planet indicating the personality ray, and the Sun sign always indicating the personality as an integrative center. Those two planets, calling the Sun a planet, could be used to build up this horoscope of the personality. And I think it's very important to do that, and oftentimes overlooked. Let's see how we're doing here. I think we're probably a little over. No, not quite. So what I would do here is to say that we are an esoteric astrology adventure, number 79C. And page 223, I suppose. One of my favorite pages, 222, those two pages, in terms of giving astrological procedure. And then we will continue with We will continue with EAA 79 D and work our way on. So this brings us then to a kind of conclusion and of a 1-hour segment. Exactly.